Back together again, you and I chatting it up on a busy Thursday, October 16th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. I open the show with an update and comments on a vote earlier in the day by the Connecticut Siting Council on United Illuminating's controversial monopole plan through Fairfield and Bridgeport. Also, Fairfield Republican State Senate member Tony Wong dropped by to talk about his thoughts on that vote. We also had a moment to chat with CBS News Washington reporter Linda Kenyon. She had the latest on the ongoing federal government shutdown.
Well, as you just heard, major decision coming down earlier this afternoon. Reports now sprouting up, including our friend Brian Lockhart's story, updated just moments ago in Hearst, that UI monopole plan has been rejected. It is not going to happen, says here. That monopole program has been rejected after pushback by officials in Bridgeport and in Fairfield. Now, remember, this had been delayed once already at the behest of local and state officials. It was delayed by the Connecticut Siting Council. The Siting Council is an independent body. So technically, even though the Siting Council has appointments made by politicos, it is an independent body, much the way that PURA, the Public Utility Regulatory Authority, is put together. Well, so was the Connecticut Siting Council. So the Siting Council, I guess, putting this now to rest ad infinitum, I don't know, unless UI comes back with a different plan. The Siting Council rejecting a proposal from the United Illuminating Company, of course, with its parent Avangrid, to upgrade the electric and power lines through Bridgeport and Fairfield, which, again, they say they need for future generation and future power distribution. The vote was close. It was 5-3 against the controversial project. At issue, whether or not, and this is where these monopoles come in, big, mono is in singular, big, large poles, I guess, in some spots. Those poles would have tipped the 190-foot mark. No small poles them. At issue is whether the cables should be routed overhead, using poles as high as 195 feet, or as you, that's what UI wanted, or would they be buried? That's the option that opponents have advocated for. Now, burying those lines, UI claims, would end up costing. Now, this is, I guess, what the company is saying. You know, UI is saying, hey, well, yeah, you know, you can bury lines, but the burial of those lines is going to cost us, meaning you, the consumers, an extra $300 to $800 to maybe $900 million. No comment, says here, by UI. The company submitted the application to the Siting Council back in 2023. So, listen, so far a good win for, you know, some state officials and some local officials who said, hey, we don't want these poles through parts of Bridgeport and Fairfield. And I think we've covered this pretty well right here on the radio station between this show and Melissa in the Morning and Lisa Wexler's midday show. So, you know, what's the next issue here? Although, to me, there's an even bigger issue here, and I want to get into that just a bit. And I understand that people in the area, when you don't want poles, you know, whether it's power poles, whether it's cell phone towers, we always get that controversy, especially if they're on or near, say, the Merritt Parkway, whatever. We've had, you know, that controversy in the past. But again, this is the problem we have in Connecticut, is that we have, when you think about it here, as smart as everybody says we are, and as smart as everybody says we're supposed to be, we don't have a cogent policy on energy in this state. And part of the reason we don't, and I'm not saying this is good or bad. Listen, people have the option and the good fortune in the U.S. of A. to be able to go out and complain against stuff and maybe kill projects that they don't want, as this one was, at least for now. Now, again, it wasn't like this was an 8-0 or 7-1 vote. It was kind of tied at 5-3 on the 8-person siting council. But having said that, this is an illustration. And again, I'm no electric engineer. I have no idea how this stuff works. I'm barely able to plug a plug into an outlet. Honestly. Seriously. But this is another illustration of why it's difficult to get stuff done here in Connecticut, because we have no planned out, spelled out strategy for this. We attack this stuff piecemeal. We get controversies with PURA. We get controversies with the siting council. And again, I guess you could say they did their job. They evaluated the poll proposals here. I guess they heard enough of them heard that it was a 5-3 vote to reject the plan. But my question now is, what's next? I mean, UI says they need this these power line upgrades. Well, okay. They said, well, they could bury them. So now, here's my question here. Now, and again, I'm not an electrical engineer. I'm not a structural engineer. I don't know squat about this stuff. Like I said, did I pay my electric bill? If I plug the plug in, does it work? Do the lights come on when I flip the switch? But now what's next? Now what happens here, and I don't know how this will be evaluated. What if UI says, well, you know what? We need these upgrades. Now we're going to have to bury these lines. All right. Is there going to be, and again, I'm not saying this would be a bad thing, but will there be an uproar if people say, well, we don't want the buried lines either? Because you know that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen. There is opposition to anything and everything in this state, which is okay. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But we have no well thought out policy about this stuff. We do everything piecemeal. And I'm not saying that I want a monopole in my backyard, or I don't want, you know, I can understand people who don't like eminent domain. Believe me, that's how my father ended up losing his business. Not losing, he was about to retire, but Yale come in and said, hey, Mr. Pacelli, and my uncle, Mr. Pacelli, hey, we need this property for a building, so here's what we're going to offer you. You probably should take this because, you know, it is eminent domain. I understand that. But again, we're doing stuff piecemeal here, and obviously, if UI chooses to go forward with this, it seems to me they're going to say, okay, you want us to bury the lines? Great. It's an extra $700 million. Guess who gets to pay for that? And then if there's opposition to that, does UI just say, screw it, we can't work in this state? I don't know. There's got to be a better way to do this. Is there? You tell me. So I start out with this question at on Facebook, facebook.com/voiceofct. Will Connecticut ever have a planned, comprehensive, well-thought-out future strategy for the generation of electricity? Or is this going to be a piecemeal situation? More on that coming up right here. What are your thoughts? Did you want the monopoles? Or now is it going to be a big, big, big dig? You tell me on WICC. And in case you're just joining us, where have you been? No, I'm just kidding here. But the Connecticut Siting Council has said, yet you will not get the monopoles as UI wanted. They voted 5-3, I guess, earlier today against the monopoles. So what's up now? Because UI says, hey, we need more power infrastructure. You've got all these data centers that want to come to Connecticut, and they look and they say, well, what's the electricity going to be like, and what's the relationship with Eversource and UI? I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert here, but that's why I'm asking today at facebook.com/voiceofct, will Connecticut ever have a comprehensive, well-planned-out future strategy for the generation of electricity? Because we don't seem to have it now. I mean, I don't know. Do we? Are we building any more electric generating plants? What about UI saying, no, we need this stuff on poles and not dug out? I don't know. It is frustrating because to me, and I always tell you, this is a sports broadcasting term, we're chasing the game here. We're never out in front. We're never even tied. Everything is a chasing of the game here. And you hear about all these companies that are looking at Connecticut. They want to build these data centers, these artificial intelligence operations. And then they see that we're not. Are we making any improvements to our power grid? I don't know. We still have, in any given day or month or year, the second or third highest power rates in the country. I mean, what gives here? And again, we always hear from the governor and everybody, well, we have such smart people here. Well, all right, what's the answer? You tell me, because I'm just a dope here waiting to hear it. Chris starts us off in Shelton. Chris, hi, you're on WICC. What's up, sir?
How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Chris.
I tell you, they can do whatever they want down in Fairfield and Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. You can not look at your poles, you can put it underground, but you take it out of your budget, your town's budget, the difference. Don't take it out of my power budget. That's ridiculous.
Well, now
it doesn't affect me up in Shelton.
And now, Chris, we're going to wait to see. I guess there's been no official response yet from UI, but UI has been saying, Chris, all along, hey, we can bury these lines. It could cost an extra $800 million. Who do you think is going to pay for that?
I think the number was $530 million.
Okay, yep. I've seen $300 to $800. So, okay, let's say, Chris, among friends, it's a half.
Hey, what's wrong with the poles? They got the poles already done from New Haven to Stratford. What's the problem?
They don't, well,
they're
I guess.
Up. They're strung.
Well, I guess these would be new poles, Chris, and I guess there would be some eminent domain here. Yeah,
it's
eminent.
All part of that system.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like I said, I hear you, Chris. I get
like
it.
Like I said, they can do whatever they want, but take it out of your town's budget.
Well,
don't take it out of mine.
And that's going to be, and Chris, thank you, that's going to be the next battle here. You know, people say, well, just, and again, like I said, look, I live in Wallingford. We have our own grid. So, thank God. But you've got UI, as Chris said, you know, I saw $300 million to $800 million, and Chris saw the figure, and he's probably right, because those figures I saw were a little bit older there. But okay, they said they can bury the lines here, and it's going to cost another $535 million. Well, all right. People aren't going to be happy. Ken in Bridgeport. Hello, Ken. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how's it going? Yeah, they got a solution, but one question, though, where are these lines going to run from New York to what, another state?
No, these lines, I guess, were primarily Bridgeport into Fairfield and a little bit of Southport along the Metro North lines. So it's for in-state transmission, as I understand it, of power.
Okay, yeah, because I was thinking, like, make the poles adjacent to the railroad lines. Because I'm looking at the railroad right now and in Fairfield, and I see, like, the power lines that go along the railroad tracks. They're as tall as, like, a six-story building.
Yeah, there are 100. The monopoles that they would want to do here, Ken, that's about right. The monopoles would be 100, as high as 194 feet. So these things are big.
The reason they, Why do they have to be so tall, though? What's the reason why?
Well, I don't know. Again, Ken, I'm not an engineer. It has to do probably with the weight of the wire. Somebody I know who knows a little about this said it has to do with the voltage, too, and the separation of the wires and all that. But again, the Siding Council said no, so it's not going to happen. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but adjacent to the railroad line would probably be the best solution if you had asked me.
Well, that's, and Ken, thank you. Appreciate it. That's the approximate location of what people wanted to do with these. But, you know, again, it's the kind of thing where, we have to figure out the infrastructure plan. We have to. And I'm not saying that people cannot have their own concerns. They should have their concerns. Absolutely, absolutely. But where is the... To me, there's a separation here. I don't see, for example, now maybe it just doesn't work that way, but I don't, or maybe I'm just missing it, but I don't see the... What's the word I'm looking for? The coalition of citizens, utility companies, lawmakers on the state level, lawmakers on a local level, who all get together and say, here's what we agree on. And again, my fear is because of the adversarial scenario that we have in this state, my fear is that are we ever going to get this right? It is, it's frustrating to me. It absolutely is, and we'll see what happens. The vote earlier today, 5-3, by the Connecticut Siding Council, which is an independent body that is a council that does exactly what the title sounds like. It makes decisions on major projects there that have some state input as to where poles go, where power lines go, where power poles go, cell phone towers, things like that, road improvements, all that, where there are tricky situations. The council voting 5-3 now after a couple of fits and starts against a plan by the United Illuminating Company and its parent company, Avangrid, to put up these what are called monopoles, big singular poles, because UI said, hey, we have to improve power generation here. These are high power, high radiation lines, and this is the easiest way to do it. There have been fits and starts here. It was going to be on one side of the Metro North tracks, then on the other side. Well, a bunch of people said, no, we don't want this. Now, what comes after that, who knows? But one of the loudest voices against this was a Republican state Senate member, our friend Tony Wong, who joins us. Hey, Tony, it's Paul. Good afternoon. I would imagine you folks are feeling happy with this.
Well, first and foremost, I think it's relief, Paul. First, thanks for having me on. And wow, in a truly stunning decision, the Siding Council rejected UI's monopole docket 516R. Now, this came on the heel where the Siding Council rejected a motion to extend the docket for another 6 months to give more time for consideration and the lack, therefore, of previous negotiations. But it really is a truly stunning decision. And what this means is that docket, 516R, is now hopefully dead, and that UI, should they want to be able to explore infrastructure improvements, will now need to submit a new docket. And the wrinkle in that, Paul, is the fact that now they will have to go under Public Act 24-144, which increased greater transparency and accountability and due process that included not only deep and environmental protection concerns, but also engaged in including greater community engagement, town engagement, as well as a greater process in verification. It was a bill that we worked on bipartisanly in 2024. That kind of said we needed to have a balance in that decision making.
So Tony, explain this a little more. So could they, with the additional public input here, could they, if they want to, try
and resubmit maybe some changes, this monopole idea? Or do they just say, as they're saying, well, hey, we can bury these lines. It's going to cost a boatload of money. Can they resubmit the monopole challenge, or are they going to go straight to the buried line thing? What do you think?
Well, it really is up to UI to consider what may be the most effective and collaborative way to get to a solution. And that has been always the premise of the people that had opposed the previous process of Docket 516R, Paul. This is not about stopping progress. This is about doing it right and getting an opportunity for transparency, accountability, fact gathering, and verification. Really about due process. People need to remember this has been a tremendous roller coaster ride, ending a chapter where ups and downs occurred, where people, going back to February of 2024, the courts, the judicial courts remanded the siting council decision of a unilateral change from the south to the north side. Mm-hmm. And the court said, you need to come back, siting council, and remand and review this case because you did not follow the due process and clearly, evidentiarily review this process, and which led to the straw poll that says we were going to reject it. And then 3 months later, in early September and late August, they said, well, we're going to reverse it and now approve it. And now here we are, a roller coaster ride indeed, Paul. But I think the key is, should UI... The ball is in their court that they now need to submit a new docket. Should they consider a underground or a monopole revision? It allows the advocates, the shareholders, the community, the impacted parties to have that due process to reach the conclusion that may be mutually agreeable, not beneficial to one versus the other, but to create solutions. So they can do whatever they like, but it's an opportunity to begin anew and get everybody's input, all the shareholders' viewpoints considered.
All right, Tony. Thanks, Tony Wong. Be good. We'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
All right, there you go. Tony's saying now, I guess they could come back with a monopole. Maybe they come back with different kinds of poles, shorter ones. Could they reroute these poles? If they present it to people saying, hey, again, we can bury these lines, but look at the, because you know there's going to be challenges with burying the lines, right? I mean, look, again, I'm a complete unadulterated dummy on all this, but if you're looking to bury power lines, again, can you do it with the present conduit? Where do you do this? Are there questions of eminent domain? And if you think power lines being discussed overhead lines will have environmental concerns, how about burying them? Yikes. Another vote taken, and it does not end the ongoing partial government shutdown. And this could eventually affect a few hundred. The White House says up to 500 federal workers here in Connecticut. When will this end? Will it ever end? Will this go on ad infinitum? No, it's probably going to end. CBS News correspondent Linda Kenyon from D.C. Joins us. Linda, good afternoon. Great to speak with you again. Boy, Linda, it sure sounds like and looks like both sides are just really digging their heels in on this, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are. Today is day 16 of the federal government shutdown. And the U.S. Senate has voted for the 10th time today to pass a procedural hurdle that would allow it to approve a stopgap short-term funding bill that would fund federal government operations through November 21st. The reason this is being held up? Well, the Democrats are saying it is because the federal health care subsidies under the Affordable Care Act are due to expire.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not discuss a way to continue those subsidies now, then millions of Americans who are covered under the Affordable Care Act will not be able to afford their health insurance because premiums will go up an estimated 50 to 75%. The Democrats are saying we need to talk about this now. The Republicans have been saying we will talk about it, but maybe we shouldn't be talking about it now, first open the federal government. The Democrats are saying if we agree to do that now, then perhaps your promises of opening the federal, of discussing it later, may actually mean never. So they're very concerned about that, and they are digging in their heels, and so are the Republicans.
Yeah, Linda, finally, you know, this reminds me when I was a street reporter, but it's kind of twisted. I used to cover these strikes all the time, supermarkets, auto parts places. Yale University was famous to this. And I remember covering strikes kind of like the more it went on, the closer you kind of knew you were getting to an agreement. This, to me, at least watching it from afar, is almost kind of the opposite, where every day both sides dig their heels in. There's a boatload of pressure, isn't there, from internally for them not to give in here? It's almost the opposite.
Well, there's a lot of pressure coming on both ends. Yeah. For example, the White House has been weighing in on this and directed the Senate Majority Leader, Senator John Thune, to sort of up the ante. So today he did. He wanted to put forth a bill to fund the Defense Department. And the Democrats said, we're not going to do that unless you also agree to fund Health and Human Services and a host of other programs. And that we can't put, they said, defense ahead of the American people's basic needs on top of, you know, health needs, for example, including the Labor Department and Health and Human Services appropriations. So that failed, but that does have some optics that the Democrats had to consider. Are they going to be the party that won't defend, won't support defending the United States? That was a very difficult vote. However, at the same time, President Trump had previously directed the defense secretary, also known as the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, to move around some monies within the Department of Defense and pay salaries for the military anyway. Mm-hmm. So at the one hand, it was exerting pressure. On the other hand, it was removing the pressure. So there's a lot of serious discussions going on here. But I think that the take-home word right now is intractable. Both sides seem intractable.
Yeah, Linda, as always, great stuff. Linda Kenyon, CBS News from Washington. Linda, have a happy weekend. We'll chat down the road. Thank you.
That sounds good. You have a good day.
Appreciate it. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.